And we are back with Hoops Adjacent after a couple of weeks off. David Aldridge here in D.C., Marcus in the Bay. Look who's here! Look who's here, Marcus. Look at this. We actually raised our level a little bit going into the season.
I'm feeling fancy. Like, I'm walking to Tiffany's or something. Like, yeah, let's go. I'm eating lunch at Tiffany's.
Wow. Jeannie Buss is here. Thank you for joining us. This is fantastic.
Thank you. Thank you for having me and inviting me on the show.
Okay. Do you prefer owner or governor? I don't really care.
I think governor. I'm co-owner.
Yeah.
And so I think governor, because there's only one governor per team. So governor, okay, would describe it better.
You go to the meetings. You make the important, yes, decisions.
Yeah. I mean, I'm held accountable for all, right, the That's
no question.
That's the hot seat that the governor sits in.
Oh, look, is it? I don't want to put you on the spot, and I won't put you on the spot. I just feel like the Board of Governors meetings have to be different since David left, because I just always heard these stories about David screaming at people for 2 hours.
David had a way of keeping order. Let's just say it like that. You did not cross the line, and if you did, you paid dearly for it.
And what's your mode in the room? Like, what's your role? How do you handle it?
You know, it's just, I mean, I've been doing it so long. I became an alternate governor in 95. So what, it's like, you know, over 20 years, 25 years that I've been in the room. And it's just changed so much. You know, when my dad bought the team, he made his money in real estate.
Right.
And, you know, Larry Miller, who owned the Utah Jazz, was a, you know, successful car dealership owner. And, you know, it just, it's like now it's all, you know, investment funds and private equity. And, you know, they just have a different way of approaching the league than, you know, say in my dad's time. And my dad's time was, you know, there was, you know, concern like the league wasn't going to survive, you know, that it, you know, teams would be close to bankruptcy because they'd be losing so much money operating the team. You know, you didn't know if somebody was going to just disappear in the night and the franchise would be gone. And now these teams are worth so much. And, you know, it's just a different way of approaching how we operate the business.
I wouldn't say any way is better or worse, but it's certainly different, right? I mean, when I first started covering the league, they were the Washington Bullets then, and Abe Pollin owned the team, and Abe was a local businessman who made some money. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
He wasn't a hedge fund guy. He wasn't a Fortune 500 guy. He was just a reasonably rich guy who bought into the team. And there were Bill Davidson. There were so many people around the league that were like that, right? And it just feels so different now. There's a civic connection between the Lakers and Los Angeles that's been there forever since they moved out there. And it's just always a part of the fabric of that city. And I just wonder what you think about how that may have changed in the last 20 years when you have bond that cities have now, maybe when owners who really aren't from those cities are own a lot of these teams. And that I'm not making a judgment about it. It's just reality. They're not from there, you know?
Right. It's just different. I mean, we have, you know, owners that are, you know, don't even live in this country, you know, that they, you know, right, they're you know, long distance owners. And you know, the franchises are so, it's so rare to be able to buy one that you may end up buying a team in a market that you're not associated with. And, you know, it's a testament to what the value that has been built over the last few decades and what teams mean to you know, their fans and keeping teams in their cities. And, you know, there is a civic connection between, especially, you know, teams that have been in their market for decade after decade, that generation after generation passes on the love of that team. And, you know, I can't tell you how, you know, many letters I get from a grandparent who says, you know, watching Laker games with their grandchild is the only only thing that they can connect on.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, that's like a rich history. And, you know, that's why a popular team like the Lakers, the popularity grows with each generation as it's passed on.
Y'all are slowly breaking my heart as an Oakland native who've watched one team leave, another team on the way out. It's like you should pull out a violin. No, I'm curious. I can only imagine the crazy offers you've gotten. Like, let me buy. Like, can you imagine, DA? Like the amount, like the Saudi people who are like, I'll give you
$30 billion. Yeah, whatever.
I've always been curious about how do you weigh like value, because clearly you aren't saying, yo, give me the highest price available, but there is the value you're talking about with community. Like, nobody seems to take that as serious as you and your family. Like how are you determining the value of the Lakers? And I don't even know how you could ever put a price on what you're talking about.
Well, you know, my dad, I remember the first time he was offered $1 billion for the Lakers. And that was maybe 2003 or 2004, wow. Right after the three-peat that we had. And, you know, he just was so shocked by that. He couldn't even imagine the team being worth that much. And, you know, but he said, you know, Jeannie, the problem with that is, you know, that's so much money. I would get the money and then people would say, well, what are you going to do with all that money? The first thing I'd want to do is buy the Lakers. So why would I ever sell the team?
That's a bar. Yeah.
Right. So I won the lottery. What are you talking about?
I would buy it back for 1.5.
Right. Right. Okay. So Jeannie, I have to ask you about this because I can't believe what a good sport you are about winning time. I just am stunned by what a good sport you are about this. Like, you're actually saying I'm enjoying this. Like,
I enjoyed, there's parts of it. Obviously there were things that were glaringly wrong. Like, yeah. For example, my grandmother had passed away before my dad ever bought the team, but they kind of kept her around. And, you know, so those were just egregious, like, inaccuracies. Yeah. You know, some of the portrayals of people, you know, were not accurate. But the things that they got right were, you know, kind of blew my mind. John C. Reilly had, you know, my dad's mannerisms.
Yeah.
He had his wardrobe. He had his comb over.
It has to be kind of weird, right? Watching it a bit.
Bizarre, but in some ways it was, it brought back so many great memories. And I cherish that. And, you know, but finding out that the show is being canceled or not being brought back, you know, it's like losing those memories all over again. And, you know, so it's bittersweet. You know, I think that, you know, what I appreciate is what they, you know, they really highlighted the relationship between Jerry Buss and Magic Johnson. And we had never seen anything like that in sports prior to that, where you had, you know, somebody, you know, of my dad's, you know, stature and experience and, you know, bonding with a 20-year-old, you know, athlete. There was just something about them that clicked. And, you know, my dad appreciated how the joy that Magic played the game with. And my dad, you know, was a brilliant businessman, a really great marketer. And he knew that if watching Magic played inspired him, it would inspire people to fill the forum. Because at that time, you know, the Lakers had Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but they were drawing, you know, 7,000 or 8,000 people.
Right.
You know, he just, he just knew that magic kind of transcended the sport, and you know, and he was right. And you know, the two of them had a really special relationship, kind of finding each other as soulmates for the game of basketball and how they wanted it played. And you know, and I think that that for a new generation of Laker fans that don't know anything about Dr. Buss, it was a really good introduction to how much he hustled to buy the team and what he wanted to build, and that he built it, you know, being inspired by Magic Johnson.
I took a opposite approach. I figured Jeannie would be the one of the people who's like, man, I get it, right? Like, yeah, you know, I get it. I wonder.
I understand. I get it.
Like,
too.
You know, I could roll. I could get down. I'm curious of what you think of your character, and if you could pull her aside a bit, you know, off the set, would you be like, hey, let's work some of this in here, or how would you coach her up?
Well, I mean, they give me a little bit too much credit. I really wasn't working for the Lakers per se. But, you know, I didn't invent the Laker girls. I didn't discover Paula Abdul. You know, like there was a lot
of
things.
You got to let that ride, Jeannie. Come on, just let that ride. Just let it go. Just let it, yeah, you know, don't refute it. Just let it exist.
it's just surreal to see, you know, somebody play you on television with your name. And they even had, they'd done research as to the nicknames that my dad called me. And so my dad's character would call my character by my nickname. And like to hear someone say Jeannie Pie, like I haven't heard anyone say that since my dad was alive, you know, that's what he called me, Jeannie Pie. And, you know, to hear it on television, and I mean, it's just strange.
Having been a part of the Jordan thing, I try to explain this to people because I think you're really saying it. It's not that it's verbatim everything that Michael Jordan says happened. No, it not, but it was great to show people it was kind of like that. Right? It was sort of like that back then, you know, and that's what I think is great about Winning Time, is that it really was sort of like that. Like the Lakers were so big in the 80s, like people, I don't think people understand, even with everything that's happened.
No, they
since.
Don't. There's no way they understand. Like they don't understand how
big the Lakers were. Like Jeannie, I was a kid in Washington going, wow, would I love to go to the Forum Club. Like,
Jeannie, my aunt used to run around the house screaming. We're in East Oakland. She'd run out top of her lungs. Her name was Gail. Girl, used to drive us nuts. She'd just be screaming, man, like it was unbelievable. I didn't even understand. I'm like seven. I'm like, why is this woman yelling like this? But she was like a diehard Laker fan in Oakland in like 84. Like, I don't think people understand how big the Lakers were.
Well, was it because of Magic, or was it because of Byron?
No, it was Magic. She loved Matt. It was Magic, 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 all Magic. Yeah.
All due respect to Byron, who's a great player, but no, it was Magic. Come on. Everybody loved Magic. Like, how could you not love Magic? Like, he was central casting. He's out of central casting.
And I thought the casting of his character, I mean, you know, the kid had Magic smile, twinkle in his eye. Like that's hard to cast. I mean, I can't imagine if the show had continued, how do you cast Shaquille O'Neal? Like it's
right. Right.
You know, and to find a Kareem, you know, Solomon Hughes, who plays Kareem, is not Solomon Hughes, Solomon. Anyway, I'm blanking on his name, the actor's name.
Right. No, Solomon Hughes. You got it right. Solomon Hughes. Yeah.
Okay.
You had me thinking Solomon Hill. I'm like,
I crossed like wires there for a second. I'm like, no, that's the guy that when LeBron got hurt, it was.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right. So, no, that's him.
So, you know, I mean, to have those two parts filled and the Larry Bird character, I thought that was great. And yeah, it made me appreciate Larry Bird so much, you know, like, I mean, we hated him so much in LA, like it's just hard to even think about. And you know, just, you know, to see his backstory and,
yeah,
you know, how he, you know, what happened with him in the game, you know, what a special athlete he was, and trash talker. So it was fun. And I think even the watching Pat Riley, the evolution of the Pat Riley persona, that, you know, I mean, people forget he was like Chick Hearn's like radio partner, like, yeah, that he ever did that. And right, he just happened to kind of be at the right place at the right time and, you know, got into coaching. Like, what if that had not happened? Would he have avoided coaching altogether? I mean, it,
yeah, right, just,
he was meant to coach the Lakers.
It's great. So John C. Riley actually thought you were going to throw him out of the arena when you met him.
The look on his face when I, you know, I introduced myself to him at halftime of a Laker game at the then, you know, Staples Center. And the look on his face when he saw me, he was kind of like, oh God, preparing himself. And I just wanted to, you know, tell him that my dad was a big fan of his, and that I just thought he should know that since he was playing him in the show. And, you know, I think he appreciated that. And I think he did a really terrific job. And I know my dad would be, you know, he would have been flattered by.
It is amazing how good he is in that. I mean, just everything. I wasn't there all the time, but I knew enough about it to know, wow, he's really worked on this. You can tell, like, he is not mailing this in, you know. And the whole show, not the last episode, but the second to last episode, when they, you know, it revolves around them trading Norm Nixon, right? And so when they showed Norm Nixon dancing with Debbie Allen, and I went, oh my God, that woman looks just like Debbie Allen. How did they do that? How did they find her?
And I thought, man, Debbie Allen was that hot. Like
Debbie Allen. Oh, she was.
Oh, I remember my daddy and him talking about Debbie Allen. I remember I was like, oh, that's Debbie Allen. Okay.
That's Debbie Allen.
Yeah. That was like, you know, before, you know, David Beckham and Victoria, you know, the Spice Girl, like Debbie Allen and Norm Nixon, they were like the
power couple.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, no, I think the show's great. I hope Netflix picks it up and does something with it, you know, because you can't have Winning Time end with the Celtics winning. That doesn't work. Like, how does that work?
That is blasphemous. That is blasphemous. That is blasphemous. You did Legacy, right, on Hulu, and it had me thinking. I wonder if you have these moments. I mean, really, we just saw two year seasons worth, right? I mean, the story of what has happened just in your lifetime is kind of insane. Like, if you were to do another show, you could do a show just on Kobe. You got Shaq. I mean, isn't it kind of wild? You got LeBron. Like,
how about Phil Jackson?
Oh yeah, Phil. Phil's the one. I was just about to ask you. So which one would you do next? If you're a green light of TV show, which one is it? That's the one. It's Phil Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, him coming to the Lakers at that time and you know, how Shaq, it really brought out, you know, the best in Shaq, you know, like,
yes.
Phil really brought the authority and it was, their relationship was really cute. And then, you know, and watching Kobe become who he was meant to be during those early years. So, yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, that would be interesting. But like you said, there's the LeBron era, you know, like winning a championship during COVID. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. It's just there's, you know, story after story and, you know, it just doesn't end.
And don't forget the Kobe and Smush Parker era. There's that. There's.
I love Smush. Smush is he was great. I mean, you know, that was a tough place to put him, you know, for
yeah.
the experience oh, yeah. that he had.
Yeah. You know,
and he had talent, but it's hard to play for the Lakers. I mean,
it's just not for everybody, right? It's just not for everybody. And that's okay. You know, speaking of your Lakers, I mean, we have to ask you about going into the season, and it's on record. I wrote this 2 months ago that you guys had a great offseason. So it's not like I'm sucking up to you right now. You guys had, I thought, a terrific offseason, you know, adding Gabe Vincent, but more importantly, keeping Reeves and Hachimura and Russell at the number you kept them all is phenomenal work by Rob Pelinka and company. So I just wonder, like, you've had some rough off seasons and you've had a couple of really good ones, I think, in a row. And does it feel aligned now? Does everything feel more in alignment?
Yeah. I mean, you know, the last season started off really tough. You know, we had brand new coach. We were 2-10 or 2-11, I think. And, you know, I was like, I'm not going to survive this. This is going to be really rough if this is what our season's going to be. And I was getting death threats. It was not fun. We had a little bit of a bright spot when, you know, watching LeBron break Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's all-time scoring record,
right.
Which, you know, I was there when Kareem set that record, and I'll never forget Chick Hearn saying, "This is a record that will never be broken." And the idea that it was broken in my lifetime by another person wearing a Laker uniform meant the world to me, but it really was a testament to LeBron and his longevity in this league and his resiliency, that he's, you know, that he performs at such a high level year after year, you know. And so, yes, there was, you know, once the trade we were close to the trade deadline and the moves that were made, you know, it was, you know, LeBron was nursing an injury,
right.
And, you know, had been kind of shut down. And then the team, something just clicked with the team, and Anthony Davis being healthy. There's an argument to be made that he was the best player in the NBA when he was playing at that level. And, you know, we got a chance to be in the play-in, and, you know, then LeBron comes back and it was a lot of fun to beat the defending champion Golden State Warriors. But,
I'm not earlier off season,
but you know,
what's good for me. That's what sports writers are. Vacation time. All right, let's go.
And then, you know, we lose to Denver, you know, who ended up winning the championship and getting the Western Conference Finals. And, you know, that was pretty good. And, you know, but the key, you know, our whole plan this offseason was to keep the continuity, to build on the momentum that had been created. And yeah, we lost Dennis Schroeder, who, I think Darvin Ham was really instrumental in him coming back to the Lakers, because he'd already been a Laker and it didn't go well. And, you know, Darvin really believed in him. And I think that's really shown how he played at the World Cup.
Right, right. Yeah.
And now he's a Toronto Raptor, but, you know, being able to pick up somebody like Gabe Vincent, Taurean Prince, you know, and our draft picks. I mean, it's exciting. And even like, Max Christie, who really shined at Summer League, really kind of, you know, continuing to blossom. And of course, Austin Reeves, has been a really great success story, considering he wasn't drafted and came to us as a free agent. You know, so there's a lot of good things to look forward to the season, but you know what? Like, who's not going to make the playoffs in the West? I mean, who do you eliminate? Everybody,
right?
Competitive, right, in our conference. So, you know, I mean, I think even Houston, you know, who has been at the bottom, you know, they're kind of turning things around and bringing in a new coach and, you know, some veterans to, you know, play with the young guys. You know, I mean, just it's going to be really tough. So we got our work cut out for us.
How often, I mean, obviously Lakers are just the home of stars, right? You always have a star. How often do you plan that out? Do you worry about who's going to be our next star, or because it's such a destination place, you know, you'll always have one? Like, how in the moment is it, or do you kind of plot, like, is Austin Reeves our next guy? Like, or where do we go next?
Oh,
like,
you're talking about players, or are you talking about
like
fans?
No, star players.
Well, maybe I'll ask you about fans after you talk about players.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the, you know, the NBA, you know, the guys are, you know, the players are compensated. It's a very healthy collective bargaining agreement where we basically split 50-50 with the player. So there's a lot of money that they can make. But to me, the most valuable thing in the NBA is playing time. And if you can find, you know, your playing time on the Lakers, the platform that it gives you can, you know, catapult you and your career and your value, it, you know, in the US, but all over the world. You know, it's such a global brand. And, you know, so, you know, yeah, they, you know, players compete for contracts, but I think the competition is really the playing time. And the idea that, you know, the resting policy that has been announced, you know, it's really kind of surprising to me that players would want to ever sit out, because when you sit out, somebody else gets your playing time. And if they take your playing time, they're going to take your popularity or your, you know, like your exposure. You want hold on to your territory, which is playing time. So, you know, it's just, you know, I think that, you know, the Lakers, there's, you know, the Lakers, you know, as we talked about, playing for the Lakers isn't for everybody, but the ones that can make it here can make it anywhere, to borrow the phrase from a popular song, that, you know, if there's something about our fan base that, you know, brings out your best, you know, holds you accountable. And, you know, you want to please and you want to work hard and they'll reward you. And, you know, so there's always a star in the making, I guess, is my answer to your question.
You in New York have the, you know, unique issue of celebrity fans, but the difference I think is that many of the Knicks celebrities are people that actually own those tickets. They actually bought those tickets years ago and have moved their way down, and they're their tickets. And so that you have to deal with so many sycophants and just B-list celebrities that insist that they should be courtside. And I know there's a whole team of people that handle this for you, but I'm sure that people come up to you that have no business with, given their level of celebrity, coming up to you and saying, I need four tickets for, you know, for the Bulls game, or when the Heat come back.
For Steph Curry and them.
You know, so the Warriors are here. I need 12. And how do you good naturedly tell them to shove off? How do you do
that? Or not good naturedly?
Or not good naturedly?
No, I mean, it happens.
Give the too small signal and just say, hey, you're too little.
it's like, you know, I mean, Jack Nicholson, he's been a fan since.
He's legit. He's been there forever.
Yeah. So, like, he's you know, he deserves.
Diane Cannon's exactly been there forever. Yes. She right? gets her ticket, yes. right? Yes.
And so, you know, but I mean, we've had where you have like second or third tier celebrities kind of, you know, trying to throw their weight around. And, you know, we had one guy send us pictures and it would be like him and Sylvester Stallone and him and, you know, Diana Ross. And you're like, wait, I recognize Sylvester Stallone and Diana Ross, but I don't but recognize you. Like, that doesn't mean, like, you don't, like, their celebrity doesn't brush off on you, and then you get tickets because you took a picture with them.
But, all right, I won't send it again. Sorry.
So it's like, you know, there's always new celebrities coming in, and, you know, I didn't know the musical artist, her, was such a good, a big basketball fan. I mean, yeah. She, not only is she a fan of the game, but I mean, she plays the game. Like, she loves basketball, you know, just like, I had no idea. I love her music. And, you know, here she is, a basketball fan. So, you know, they just keep coming. It's, and Halsey was a big fan for a while. Then she had a baby and we haven't seen it since.
That's crazy.
Given the history of like Lakers Celtics, I'm curious, you know, obviously the Celtics aren't exactly the Celtics like in a day. Who are some other teams that, or some other players that when they come to town, you're like, I really want to beat you. I really don't.
Oh, you mean the
opponents? Like, yeah. Like,
yeah, they, that's a complicated thing because, you know, I don't want to ever be accused of tampering or.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Right.
Good point,
right.
So, like, you have to be really careful. But, like, there's always, like, you know, I met Buddy Hield, you know, way before he ever, you know, was drafted. And, you know, so he's somebody that I, you know, have, you know, when I see him at a game, I, you know, say hello to him. And like the league understands that, like existing relationships or, you know, my little brother, Jesse, my younger brother, not little, like my younger brother, Jesse, got married a few weeks ago and Julius Randle was at the wedding. And so it was great to see Julius Randle there. And you know, there's just some players you know, that are going to be part of your life, you know, and your story and the Lakers story. And, you know, we always stay close to those people.
Spring is the best time to add new challenges to your training, just in time for summer and warmer days. I know I'm looking outside right now. Sun's out, birds are chirping. It's time to start getting outside. I know that I like to get outside and play basketball with my kids. And honestly, I need to get into a fitness routine in order to keep up with these guys. And Peloton is there for me. Peloton's varying class lengths were designed with your training plan in mind. Personalize your workout, whether you'd like to add a 10-minute core session at the end of your strength class, or take a 60-minute power zone ride to increase your endurance. Peloton classes are designed to help focus on your needs and goals. Peloton's classes were made to challenge you. There are a variety of classes like boot camps, boxing, full body strength, or marathon training, all created to grow your skills or push you to improve in what you're already excelling in. Peloton's program and instruction push you to be your best. Their expert coaches and nonstop vibes will push you to new levels of strength and endurance, keeping you on your toes while giving you the professional coaching you need. Peloton has everything you need to get you where you're going. Whether you prefer to run indoors, row or ride at home, or strength train at the gym, Peloton has something for you. Get your head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, I want to beat Jokic. I just want to beat Jokic. That's it.
Well, they'll get their chance. They'll get their chance. Look, I don't want to keep you, Gina. I know you got a million things to do, but I do want to ask you, you've got the Riley thing down pat, which is winning in misery. That's got that down. That is a thing out there with you guys. And it's a hard way to live your life. It's very difficult to not enjoy when you do win it all, to have more of a sense of relief than you know, rapture or ecstasy. And I just, and that's, hey, I get it. You're rather, it's harder. It hurts more to lose than it's exciting to win. I get that on the professional level, but isn't that a hard way to kind of go through your professional life?
Yeah. I mean, I kind of learned, you know, my dad was very much like Riley, where it was, if the Lakers lost, it was a tough off season. You know, yeah. You couldn't wait till the next season to like have another chance at it. Then in, you know, my 15-year relationship with Phil Jackson, you know, he showed me, you know, like about balance and that,
right.
You know, like you can't let that affect your life. Like, you know, I mean, you wouldn't find a more competitive person than Phil Jackson, but, yeah. You know, you had to always put things in the right perspective so that it wouldn't tax you so much that, you know, when who am I kidding? He was miserable after we lost to the Celtics in 2008.
Right.
That was a tough off season. And, you know, Kobe got to go right to the Olympics and, you know,
yeah.
out his frustrations on Spain and beat them for the gold medal.
Right.
And, you know, like, and, you know, people know that story that Kobe knew he needed Pau to really, you know, to get him in the right frame of mind
in
order to get back to the finals and he hung his gold medal in Pau's locker to start the season and you know, beating Orlando for the championship and then of course in the rematch with Boston in 2010 and having that vindication.
Well, I hope it's you in Boston again, because there's nothing better than that. There just isn't. There's nothing better in sports than Lakers Celtics. It's the captain.
I don't know. LeBron v. Steph is pretty good. LeBron v. Steph is pretty good.
Yeah, well, that was pretty. No, don't get me wrong. That was terrific. But Lakers Celtics is just a different deal.
You can't, like, right now, it's like LeBron and Steph. You can't have them in the finals. We're both.
Yeah, that's the problem.
If you think about it, Celtics, Lakers, we're both at 17. And if we do play them, you know, whoever wins would be number 18. So, you know, that was, you know, when my dad bought the team in 1979, that was his goal, was to make the Lakers, you know, be able to, you know, hold, you know, their place against the Celtics. And, you know, that's, you know, and,
Hold on. So you were rooting for the Warriors in the 2022 finals?
I just enjoyed the fun. I enjoyed that finals. How's that? Like, there was no pressure on me.
I just
enjoyed the like twists and turns that series took.
Right.
Okay. I was wondering if you wanted them to not get 18, you know.
Very much.
That's what we call between a rock and a hard.
Well, I could talk to you forever about being an incredible role model icon. You've what you've done in your space is, we just haven't seen too
many
people.
Second to none.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm serious. This is not blowing smoke. Like, you have created something amazing, and continue to recreate it and build on it and make it better and bring it modern and all those things that are very difficult to do in a very competitive league. And you should be very proud of the work that you've done over the decades with your father's franchise and with your franchise. Now this is your franchise. So,
and I would like to add that throughout my 04 is when I started, what is that? Almost 20 year career. I always appreciate how much you respect will be due.
Yes.
How available you are, right?
And ridiculously so.
Like, I've always appreciated that. Like, you're one, somebody who's important who doesn't think we're maggots.
Right.
Like, it matters a lot. I appreciate it.
I do. I respect what you guys do. And we wouldn't be where we are if it wasn't for the coverage and the conversation and the debate, you know, it just, it invigorates the fans. So I appreciate it. Maybe I don't agree with it all the time, but
neither do we actually.
Neither do we. Promise you that. We could have a long discussion about that.
Oh man.
But Jeannie, thank you. Good luck to you this season. We'll be out there. We'll be covering and running into you, I'm sure, as you make your rounds.
That would be great.
Your feet have to hurt at the end of a game because you are of the people. You are not hiding in a box somewhere. You are out there.
I love Laker fans. I really do. So, yeah, yeah. Definitely let's connect. And I'd love to say hi, and I'll take you into the patio, which is our special, new special area.
Marcus, we got an invite to the patio.
Yeah, we
got
to go to the patio. Let's go. I'm patio life.
All right, y'all, leave that 5-star review on Apple, on Spotify, Google Play, wherever you get this fine American podcast. Marcus, if they can't leave 5 stars, what should they do?
Keep it to yourself, you haters. We'll make you be Boston Celtics fans.
Exactly. Or we'll put you at the top of the, I can't call it, well, what, I can't, what is it now? I'm sorry, what's your building called now?
Oh, yeah, no. Crypto.com, baby.
There you go. Crypto.com. I'm sorry. It's always going to be.
Kind of a nice name.
Crypto.com. I will put you at the top of crypto.com. We're out.